I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
I've seen the sky so blue. Birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. I'm Maria Chaleos, along with Tom Bettis, joining you in this foggy morning. I should say it's only foggy in a few places, Ton. Like up on the bench, there's no fog. You hit about 13th East coming down the hill on I-80, you get socked in. How about where you live?
When I was driving up from Utah County, the fog was not even there until I hit about Draper to Murray. And then all of a sudden it was just socked in. And, you know, the freeway's still running well. It wasn't that big of a delay, but I definitely did have to slow down.
Right, and that is the key. Turn on your lights and slow down. We want you to be safe. Hopefully, we have a storm coming in here tomorrow that's going to clear things out. But until then, I think we're just kind of stuck in it, and we just need to be safe. Tom, let's start out. Talk about the plant of the week that we have put up on the KSL Facebook page, the Greenhouse Facebook page, I should say. And we're talking about pothos.
We are. Pothos is a wonderful houseplant that, as long as it gets water and fertilizer occasionally, is almost impossible to kill.
And it's green all
green.
The time?
Green. You can actually, no blooms, but it comes in a couple different forms. There's a straight green form that is the older one, but then there are several variegated types that will have white and green or yellow and green leaves. And sometimes they're splotchy, sometimes they're a little bit more ordered. Mm-hmm. Now, in the home, if you have lower light levels, the variegated forms will go to straight green because the green in the chlorophyll captures more light.
Ah.
And so to keep them variegated, you actually have to get them in a brighter situation.
Okay. And they last forever?
They do.
They're tough to kill?
They're tough to kill. They will live for literally years, 30 years, 50 years, and you repot them every 2 to 3 years into a slightly larger pot. They're a vining plant, and so what has to happen is if they get too long and too big, you can carefully just snip some of the longer vines out and let it keep going. They're actually, if you like to do such things, they're not very hard to root out in water if you want to do new starts. But they're just a really low maintenance. If you have an office with no windows and fluorescent lights, they do fine in that situation. And it's just one of those plants that if you have kids that you're trying to teach about how to care for things, that even if they miss some waterings, it seems like as soon as you get water to them, as long as it's not too long, they bounce right back.
Okay, and this is one that we typically see in offices. Most people would know what it is.
Yes. And it looks like I missed putting up on the Facebook page, so as soon as we go to break, I will get the pothos fact sheet up on Facebook.
Okay, let's tell folks the number to call, 801-575-8255 with your questions. You can ask us your indoor questions, your outdoor questions. We know we've kind of reached the houseplant season and pretty much the planting in the gardening season. Or you can text us your questions at 57500. Let's talk just for a minute more about houseplants. And what are some of the things that we can be doing? Should we be changing the soil in our houseplants all the time?
No. Every couple of years is usually the standard. And if you have a 6-inch pot, 6-inch wide, you would go to an 8-inch wide pot and then get new potting soil. You don't ever use soil from your garden. Get new potting soil, put it a little bit in the bottom of the pot, very carefully take the plant out and then set it in there and put soil around the sides, gently pack it in, water it, and then put a little more soil in because it will settle.
Mm-hmm.
You generally would do that in the spring when it's more actively growing, but if you have a plant that hasn't been repotted in years and years, there's no time like the present.
This is a tough one for me because my plants are usually, I buy them the size I want them to be. So when you're talking go up a size, it becomes problematic.
Well,
because I don't have the space, right?
Yeah. And so when you go up a size, what will happen is it allows the roots to grow enough so that the plant doesn't get unhealthy, but you only go up a little bit to actually restrict the growth of the plant. And so
if you put it in a big pot, you're asking it to grow to that size.
And it frees up resources and it actually can cause it to grow faster. And so when I recommend people water their houseplants, there's lots of houseplant fertilizers out there, but if you're using a liquid, I actually like to, during the summer even, do half strength to make sure that there's enough nitrogen in there, but not so much that I'm going to cause it to grow too fast.
Mm-hmm.
But as back to your problem, as they get too big, they don't really stop growing. And eventually, if you don't have a large room with a 20-foot vaulted ceiling, the houseplants do sometimes just get too big.
Right. Is there a way to keep them at a smaller size? I mean, should we actually be trying to separate some of these plants? It's maybe not worth it for a houseplant.
Unless it's a hobby and it's just what you do for entertainment and relaxation. A lot of times...
Because you could kill it. I'm not sure that's relaxing.
You know, a lot of times houseplants are so inexpensive, and I hate to get into the disposable culture, but it is very inexpensive to buy a smaller version of the same thing. Now, with some of the plants, especially like the pothos we've talked about, you can clip those back and thin them a little bit. You know, if you let a pothos, say you hang it in a window and let it go, those vines eventually reach to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And those can be clipped back. If you have a woody plant, it seems like the fiddly fig has been all the rage lately.
Okay.
It was all over social media for like 6 months as the plant to have.
Okay.
It's been around forever. But fiddly fig, or if you're careful with some of the other ficus, and I don't like to prune them too much, but if you're getting one that's too big, and especially if it has sentimental value, it may be worth just some very minor pruning to where you might take a couple of branches out of the canopy to bring its size down.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, you know, these house plants are, you know, wild plants, and they don't stop growing. And so we talked about the Norfolk Island pine last week. In the wild, that gets 50 to 100 feet tall.
Wow.
And even indoors in pots, you can slow it down. But I've seen those in buildings 25 feet tall planted in the soil. And so eventually you do hit a point that you're probably going to have to dispose of the plant or figure something out. Maybe somebody has a bigger house or something, but they will eventually get too big.
I want to talk for a second about the sentimentality that surrounds some plants. I have a quince tree in my yard that was started from my grandmother's quince tree. But I also know a lot of people who have had parents who have passed or grandparents, and they have special plants that they kind of willed to them to take care of. And it becomes problematic because you're talking about things like bougainvillea or things that don't actually grow very well here in Salt Lake that you have to take care of indoors.
And you mentioned bougainvillea, and that can be extremely difficult, even with a greenhouse, because the bougainvillea, mandevilla, there's a few others, passion flowers that are just magnets for spider mites and scale and white flies. And if you're not super careful, you can actually bring pests into the house with those kinds of plants that will spread to your other houseplants. And so if you have things that are harder to maintain, a sunroom is ideal, at least a big south window. Greenhouses can be expensive to maintain and run, but the more light you can get on them in the winter, the more you're going to mimic their natural environment to where they're native in the tropics. Mm-hmm.
You talked about being careful with them and bringing in pests. What does that mean? I mean, how are we
careful? Well, let's say you've decided you want to save a bougainvillea from outdoors, and unless it has sentimental value, I wouldn't recommend it.
They're tough. They really are.
And so let's say you've decided you've got a greenhouse or a sunroom or solarium or something, you want to bring it in. That plant needs to be isolated for 60 days on its own in its own room with no other plants to watch it to make sure that you don't all of a sudden get an infestation of the spider mites or scale or aphids or white flies or any number of pests that were at very low levels outside that natural predators took care of. But when you bring it in, the pests thrive and the predators don't. And so you don't bring things in from the porch and immediately just put them in your area with other houseplants. They need to be in quarantine to make sure that there's nothing wrong.
Right. So just put them in a room where you have no other houseplants and watch them for a good 90 days, huh? 60 to 90 days.
Really need to. And if you do have...
It's a long time.
Yeah.
That's all winter.
Yeah. If you have plants that are of sentimental value... If you can maintain them indoors and just keep them indoors
rather than taking them in and out,
it gets a little dicey bouncing those back and forth. I know that my grandfather had some things that were 30 to 50 years old that even transporting them down in the car, the leaves scorched when we had to put him in assisted living. And it can be a little bit tough. And so if the plant is happy where it's at, I usually just leave it alone.
Okay. You're listening to The Greenhouse Show. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. And as always, check out The Greenhouse Facebook page to get more ideas. We talk about the plan of the week and have some other tips for you. You can check those out on the KSL Facebook page. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse Show. I'm Maria Chaleos, along with Ton Bettis, taking your questions, 801-575-8255. That is KSL Talk. You can also text us at 57500. We started out the morning talking about houseplants and indoor plants. And one in particular that we've been talking about, an office kind of plant, the pothos. Somebody said, how do you spell that? So that's P-O-T-H-O-S. And then we have some other houseplant questions on the text line, Ton. This person asking about a Hoya houseplant. First of all, tell me what that's about.
Hoya is just another houseplant.
What does it look like?
Pretty flowers. It's a vining plant. Let's see if I can pull this over. As I pull the monitor off.
Oh, beautiful plant. Okay, people can't see that, but go ahead.
So anyway, Hoya is one that you can find. You probably have to go to a local garden center like Western Gardens, J&J, or like Cook's. There's several of them, but they need to have greenhouses. Mm-hmm. And it's one that it's not super common, but it can be found. And if it has the right situation, it will bloom indoors. Now, if you buy it from like a 6-inch plant, it may take 4 or 5 years to become mature enough to actually bloom. And if you don't prune it right, or you say you trim it too much, you could actually be knocking the flower blossoms off.
Mm-hmm. How do you take care of this?
The standard way you take care of most houseplants, during the summer, it'll probably need water, depending on the size of the pot, every 5 to 7 days. But in the winter, every 7 to 10 days, maybe even every couple of weeks, depending on the room temperature. It likes average room temperatures around 70 to 72 during the day, 60 at night. And then the key to getting it to bloom is bright light. And so you want to put it in a south window, or if you have a solarium or a sunroom or something, those are more ideal. Now, the plant will live and be fairly healthy in slightly lower light, but you'll never get it to bloom.
Okay. How about fertilizer for houseplants? Is that necessary?
It is. How often?
And
because you've got the limited amount of soil in the pot, and I use that term loosely. Because you have potting soil, there's just a limited amount of nutrient holding capacity. And so in the summer, I recommend every other week with either full or half strength house liquid fertilizer. You mix up from the powder or just pour a little bit of the concentrate in. And the reason for that is I want my plants to be healthy, but I don't like having them grow gangbusters. And so I usually use half the recommended dose. And if that's not cutting it, plant is just looking a little anemic and I know I'm not overwatering, then I will go ahead and slowly ramp up a little bit how much I'm getting it. But I always do half the recommended dose during the summer. And then during the winter, they generally don't need to be fertilized, or if you do, maybe once a month at half strength. Because even though the plants are green, they're not really growing super fast. Lower light levels, cooler temperatures actually slow their life processes down, so they don't need the amount of fertilizer as they would in the summer.
So that ficus tree I've had in my living room for 20 years and have not ever fertilized, I might want to give it a little bit of help.
Yeah, it may help. Not that it would shock it to death or anything, but
it might. It would be getting more care than it's getting.
I would probably just maybe give it a dose now and then leave it alone. But during the summer, hit it every other week or once a month, just to get what you're wanting, or what we'd call maintenance levels of nutrients, to keep it healthy, but not so much that it grows really, really fast and it quickly outgrows its pot.
Right. This guy is hard to take care of because it's in such a huge pot. So every once in a while I will add more soil. Should I mix it in? How exactly should I do that? It's kind of a mess.
It slowly decomposes. And if you notice that the roots are exposed, just cover up the roots, because the soil does break down. I mean, eventually it may need to be repotted, but the ficus, if it's happy, maybe leave
it
alone.
It's pretty happy.
Because what will happen if you move them too much, or let's say you repot them, is they are very prone to leaf drop because they get shocked, and then it takes them a couple of months to regenerate those leaves. And so if it's happy and you've noticed the soil's been decomposing a little bit, maybe getting thin, just lightly covered so that the roots are covered up, but you don't want to go too deep.
You don't want to kind of mix it in.
Yeah, and there are some services out there. Let's say you have a pot volume of 20 gallons and it's just too big for you to handle. I believe Cactus and Tropicals will handle repotting that for you. I don't know if they do it on location. There may be some other services out there, but there are often services that you can professionally hire that will come in and repot those bigger plants for you that have the tools and facility to do that.
Yeah. Sadly, when I think of fertilizing, is when this plant starts looking like it needs something. And that's probably not the best way to do it.
Well, if you're replenishing the soil once in a while, oftentimes potting soil has a month or so worth of fertilizer in it. Mm. So it is getting some nutrients from that.
All right.
But there's several fertilizer brands out there that are both granular and liquid that are made for houseplants that are all pretty good. I mean, the nutrients are all the same in there, and it's just different brands. And so for that, I just, if you like to do the liquid and do the very exact maintenance of half dose every other week, then the liquids are nice. But if you want to walk away, then something like Osmocoach, where you just put in a couple scoops into the pot every 6 months, those are fine too.
All right, let's take a break for the news. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500, and we'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.